Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Galatia. Therefore, do not give yourselves again to the bondage of slavery. Nothing will enslave us more in this world than selfishness. Nothing will encapsulate us to be lost within ourselves when we lose sight of God's generosity. To be a generous person then is to be a free person. 1 out of 10 verses of the gospel speaks about money and possessions. And the reason is because Christ says to live in a right relationship with his creation in order to receive the goodness of the beauty of his world and not be caught in the sin of abusing what God has intended for good, for selfish purposes. And so it is that this freedom of this generosity comes by the awareness of the little boy who brought his sack lunch to Jesus and said, all I have is these few loaves and fish, but placed into the hands of the Savior of the world, he was able to feed more than 5,000 people. So it was that Mary, on behalf of her sister Martha and brother Lazarus, took a part of their wealth in the investment of perfume and scents and gave the anointing of Jesus' feet shortly before he went to the cross and was crucified, used the inheritance and the investment of their money to be a blessing upon the Lord on Calvary. And then there was the woman who went into the temple, and Jesus saw her just like he sees you and me, whether by Facebook Live or live stream or in person. And he saw that she took what she had to give, called a widow's mite, 2 pennies, and placed them as an offering to God, and said she has given out of what she had and will be touched by the wealth of God and the goodness of God blessing her heart. Not far from here is one of the wealthiest people of America. I was in his office and we were having lunch and visiting, and I thanked him for his using his influence, including his financial investment, to help grow a city and create goodness in our society. And then I said, capitalism, which is our economic form, is only good when it is governed by generosity. The capitalism must have a conscience, and conscience is revealed by generosity. And the voluntary work of this generosity is the movement of Christ in the church. That we then will be a people who are known by our generosity of love and kindness and goodness and mercy and grace, and our financial generosity that gives fuel to all of that. For generosity is the best place to be in order to receive where God is wanting to give. Why? Because generosity stretches us into God's goodness. If we want to receive the blessings of God that are coming upon us, then allow that goodness of God to stretch you to in your capacity to give financially, time and treasure into the lives of others, and you have stepped into the economy of God and feel his goodness. We need this in our relationships with each other right now, don't we? That in the midst of all of the stress in our society and all the speaking at each other and not with each other, even in conversation, there's the temptation to become less generous and listening with our heart and speaking with a tongue of love. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia have both been touched by death. They have left the bounds of this earth and entered into the next dimension of an eternity that is governed by the grace of God. And in their written opinions, they were frequently different from each other. But they were known by their friendship. They were known by their capacity to live that golden rule of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The sense of helping to model civility during uncivil times is what we must do. I remember almost 20 years ago, being in the Supreme Court and seeing both of these great jurists on the bench, and seeing them while my father and Lowell Denton's and some others were presenting a case before them, and just struck by the wonder not only of the intellect of their mind, but something in their heart that knew they needed to embody a temperament of civility so that people could be civil while we work out our differences. Oh, people of the church. People of the church, this is our call at this time. And as we live this call, may we then invest in God's economy of generosity, which comes by giving and receiving. That is why Paul had echoing in his ears, the ears of his soul, the ears of his priority, listening into the words of Jesus when he said to the churches, to the Christians who make up the churches, remember the words of our Lord when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, Jesus said this during his earthly ministry, but it is not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, these four gospels. It was in the priority of Paul, who then claimed to make sure the words would resonate in the life of the church of his day and all days, this truth. This generosity of God is how we invest. And not just in a Dow Jones, not just in a NASDAQ, not just in a real estate, not just in our own savings account, but we invest into God's economy by giving into the lives of people on his behalf from what we've invested in our time and our talents by the treasures that we give. That's how we're free. That's how we're free. The freest, wealthy, financial people are those who have understood the conscience of giving, and the freest people that our society would call poor, meaning not having as many zeros behind the lead number, are those who also know how to be generous like the widow's mite and the boy with the lunches, as well as the wealth of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. See, this is the investment that we make with our life. When I ask you the question, who taught you to be generous? I'm sure for most of you, it came from Jesus on the cross, who for the joy that was set before him, despised the shame and endured the suffering because of what was set before him in the victory of the cross. But who is a person that helps a model for you generosity? Because you know, generosity is something that all of us not only can do, but must do in order to be free. The generosity that each of us may give within our financial resources into God's great work in the life of Trinity, the God's great work in the treasures of your time and your talents for all of us into this world. I pray that there have been people that have modeled that for you. If not, you can look around you. You may look within the family of God, the family of Trinity Baptist Church, and you will see people who are modeling this and to be inspired by them. But I also have the question, whom are you modeling generosity? How will people speak about you and your influence within their life? Among the influence for me was in the remembrance of my pastor when I was 11 years old. And I was asking all the questions about the faith in Christ. And next Sunday, Sadie will be baptized. And in her baptism, remembering it was that my pastor then gave me this. He gave it to me as a gift. This is a well-worn book that had been important to him. And when he gave it to me as an 11-year-old boy, he was investing it into my life, a gift that keeps giving. Then years went by, and there was another man who was a well-known Baptist minister. Being a part of his life, and then the passing of his life, then he and his family had given me the gift of his Bible that sits on my shelf and reminds me of the generosity, not only of the gift, but the person behind the gift that was given by his life, his work, and the investment of a treasure. As people have been generous to you, they're being generous also in a way to create a future different than a painful past, to create a generous future different than a selfish world, like planting an acorn that becomes an oak, like laying the first stone that becomes a cathedral, like giving the first word of forgiveness that restores a broken relationship, like taking that first step in following the Christ in order to become a generous fisher of people. That's the power of a gift giving that God gives. And in the midst of this, God wants you to know that you are a difference maker by your trusting His goodness in His economy to bless you by your generosity in what you give. Paul, in this amazing scripture that was read by Kay and Terry and Markeen, this amazing scripture, himself was on a mission of generosity. He was completing a time of helping to begin churches in the West and in the East, and he took an offering back from the churches of the West to the church back in the East of Jerusalem, that mother church. And as he went, he explained to them that the hardships that the Christians in Jerusalem were experiencing, and that each one could make a difference by giving something on behalf of that other larger work. And the church at Corinth made a big pledge. But when it came time to contribute to the pledge, some of them began to backpedal. Said, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to give that much. And then Paul wrote them a really crisp letter and said, well, if you want to reap sparingly, then sow sparingly. That's the word for planting. But if you want to reap generously, then give generously. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now, one of my early mentors in life says, well, the Lord will also take a non-joyful giver's gifts. But it's the stretch in our capacity to feel the joy, not just of what we're giving away that we could have our own private purposes for, but what we're giving in a way that then will bless others and their purposes, and we get caught up in the wonder for that. That's what Jesus was saying. He was saying after this, Mary and Martha and Lazarus anointed him with part of their family investment of their special perfume, then he said, I want you to love others generously, for I have loved you generously. And by this shall all people know that you are my disciples by the generosity of your love. Wow. One of the ways that we invest as Church of the West into the East is in Western Africa. And the story of an amazing movement like Acts and beginning new churches, Emmanuel Mustafa, a friend of our church who's been with us on several occasions. And here is next to him, he's Emmanuel is to the left, the one to the right, is one of the cohorts that helped to envision the ministry that has begun over a couple of thousand churches in Western Africa. And we make an investment of that, not only by drums and Bibles, but in creating a ministry center, as well as mission teams which have gone there. But Reverend Osola, who's just to the right of Emmanuel, just passed away. And what Moose wrote about in the retrospect is he said, in his generosity, he envisioned a future, he invested to make it possible, and that it will continue on. That's how we cannot outgive God, to be able to see that as true. In my own life, as I've had stretched, there's not a time that I did the stretch in giving that I came back to regret it. But there have been times when I didn't take the stretch of generosity, and I have regretted it. The sense of the stretch is taking where we currently are in a giving level of our treasure, our money, yes, and our time, and our capacity of being in loving relationships and helping to connect people to this hope of God. And as we do that, then God's kingdom grows stronger. Invest in God's economy by giving and receiving. When you give, you'll receive, because you have positioned yourself in God's goodness to see what He wants to show you, and He will give it to you only then. Two is live. Live in God's generous purposes to know His strength in all seasons. That's what Debbie was connecting with in our children's sermon. In the midst of whatever is occurring within your life, there is a capacity within you to take that next step forward. And so Paul wrote in the same chapter of Acts 20, when he's on his journey to go to Jerusalem, he's on his journey of handling hardships. He says, to finish the race, to complete the task the Lord has given me. That's God's purposes. My prayer for you is that in this season, which is strange, that you will awaken each morning, not just in what is not normal, that used to be normal, but you will awaken into a purpose of God that helps you to see that day in light of his promise of what you can do through your generosity of your talents and your time and your treasure. He said, to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. Weren't you touched when Kay led in the reading of the scripture? I mean, here she is, born in 1919. That is in the middle of the last major global pandemic. This flu, the influenza known as the Spanish flu. That in the midst that she survived that as a baby. And in the midst of that, when Woodrow Wilson was the president of the United States, she was born into the world as the promise of God. And she has been blessed by good genes. She's been blessed by care. She's living with her daughter, Marquine, who's a college professor, and Terry, who's a business person, great leaders in the life of our church. But in the midst of that, she has not given up. Imagine how many times it would have been easy for her to say, I just can't do it anymore. Of all the hardship that she's endured through the times of her life, but she's been renewed and renewed and renewed by the generosity of God's love and grace that's given her the strength to move forward. And my prayer for you is that as we are inspired by one like Kay and others, because I really am wondering, in the midst of our feeling pushed and discouraged and despair about the political life and system and the economic challenges, which are intense and immense, but they're not bigger than God. They're not bigger than what God's generous vision for us as a non-selfish people, helping to throw the revolution of generosity in our character, in our relationships with people, as well as our financial commitment in capitalism. See, compelled by the Spirit, Paul said, I am going to Jerusalem. I don't know what will happen to me. And what we now know, what did happen to him, is he was falsely accused, wrongly arrested, unfairly tried. And in that, God blessed him because he allowed even that upside down situation when he arrived in Jerusalem, instead of being rewarded for the gift that he had taken there, there were small hearted people and bigoted people who said they were followers of Christ and got him arrested and wanted him to be executed because they did not let their hearts grow to love the Gentiles. Paul said, it's that purpose that I go to preach the kingdom. And I go there to proclaim the whole will of God. This photo of me and is on a hike to a beautiful location, an alpine lake in a mountain region. And I, you know, recognize one of the reasons I hike is because I need to hike to grow my capacity as a person, as a follower of Christ, as a leader, to choose a hike that will take all I have to give it, and then a little bit more. Because it's that little bit more that stretches me into a next capacity to meet the challenges which are still before me. And God's generosity at work in our life stretches and grow us so that we will be prepared. Our anxiety may be controlling us because we are not allowing ourselves to be grown by the capacity of God's goodness and generosity. So be generous and find yourself in the midst of God's goodness to to be able to give. Yes, absolutely. Begin where you are. If you're tithing, continue to allow that tenth of your income to be a means of investing in God's great work at Trinity and beyond. Oh, and how the Lord is blessing those gifts. The generosity of your time and your generosity of your character and kindness. When you think you can't do it, you can. Not too long ago, Vicki and I were in a drive-through. I placed my order. It was a simple order, a couple of drinks, and nobody was in front of us, and it took them more than 5 minutes to get the drinks to the window before we went out. And I said, is that really the best y'all can do? And Vicki looked at me and she said, Les, is that really your best self? We can all get sidetracked. But to know that each moment that arrives in our life is the way that God takes our discomfort and then he says, whoa, before you speak, before you act, have you been touched by my generosity? Have you felt my goodness? And make sure that that's what you pass on. That's why Paul would say in the very end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And therefore, he gave what he had unto God. And God did the wonder through him, no more or no less than what he may do through you and how you decide for him. Oh, Lord, let it be in you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.